coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations with Pastor Gregory Seltz.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. What will it take to fix our dying world? Nothing short of a miracle. Today, Pastor Gregory Seltz tells how God breaks into our broken world with His grace and mercy.
We know there is something more to this life. And when we hit the wall of the world's brokenness and our own personal chaos, we cry out for help. We look for someone to step in. We need a miracle. Well, I really want you to know and believe that you have that miracle today.
Stay with us for Pastor Seltz's message. Today's sermon is based on a reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 9. Now, here's our speaker, Pastor Gregory Seltz.
Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which was about to be accomplished at Jerusalem. Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Do you ever feel like you need a miracle? You know how the feeling happens. Things aren't going well. In fact, they're going terribly, maybe worse than ever before, and you have this overwhelming sense that you need some outside intervention. You really need help that is not of this world. You need God to step in and do something, something powerful, something to change things completely. Have you ever felt that way? Well, a band called Third Day captured that feeling in their song called Miracle. The song starts like this. Well, late one night she started to cry and thought, he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. So she fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle. The song continues, well, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, there will come a time when you can't make it on your own. And in your hour of desperation, know that you're not the only one praying, Lord above, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. If you've ever felt like you need a miracle, you're not alone. And friend, I want to let you know up front that miracles are God's specialty. If you need a miracle, I'm praying that you see your miracle today in Jesus Christ, your Savior. Jesus, the Son of God, came to this world to die for you and to be raised from the dead for you so that you can receive the gift of His eternal life. Yes, I'm praying you see that miracle today in Jesus for you. Because that miracle, one that makes all of life worth living, both in the successes and the struggles of life, that is what you and I need right now. Even though this world can be beautiful and bring blessings, people still hunger for that which transcends the here and now. Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes that God has put eternity into man's heart. Ecclesiastes 3:11. We know there is something more. We know that this isn't all there is. Vaclav Havel, a humanitarian thinker and writer, spoke about the need our world has for the transcendent. He said, "Today we find ourselves in a paradoxical situation. We enjoy all the achievements of modern civilization that have made our physical existence on this earth easier in so many important ways. Yet we do not know exactly what to do with ourselves, where to turn. The world of our experiences seems chaotic, disconnected, confusing. Experts can explain anything in the objective world to us, yet we understand our lives less and less. In short, we live in the postmodern world where everything is possible and almost nothing is certain." Havel was emphasizing that people are searching, people crave meaning. They're looking for that which goes beyond the surface appearances of this life. They are seeking what they know is out there, beyond the routine, beyond the tragedy and upheaval, beyond the daily grind, beyond simply living and dying? The Bible asks the same question. The psalm writer looked beyond this world asking, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? What was his conclusion, his answer? He said, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. His help was in the eternal God. In this incomplete and imperfect world, in our sin-broken life with so many needs, we look for something more. We crave something more. We need a miracle. You know, as you know, Valentine's Day will be here soon. Men, consider this your friendly reminder. Hint, hint. Valentine's Day will be here soon. But even the celebration of Valentine's Day grew out of human yearning for something more. St. Valentine was a priest in Rome who defied the Roman emperor's order forbidding Christian couples to get married. So, Valentine performed marriage ceremonies in secret. Once the emperor discovered that Valentine was disobeying his orders, the priest was imprisoned and eventually put to death. But as he awaited his execution, legend has it that Valentine miraculously restored the sight of his jailer's blind daughter. The legend also says, on the evening before his execution on February 14th, he wrote a farewell note to the jailer's daughter, signing it, from your Valentine. When St. Valentine's Day began to be celebrated in the 1400s, people were looking for a special symbol of complete devotion and love. They wanted something that transcended ordinary love. They wanted a miracle. And they found one in the lowly priest who signed his name, Valentine. Our modern Valentine's Day, we look for our soulmate. We search for that person meant for us. It's all rooted in our craving for something more in this life. We hope and pray that something is out there working to bring that someone into our life. We hope for a miracle, even in our relationships here and now. We hope for a miracle because we know that all is not right in our world or in our lives. Things are broken. They're in disarray. The Bible calls that sin, a rebellion that has cut us off from the Lord of life. Just listen to the news today, and you'll see that very clearly. We've endured a Christmas season full of tragedy. And in the news, we often see broken relationships, often from people's misused liberty. In society, the drugs that were meant to heal have become the opiates of our addictions. And the science and technology of modern life have more often disconnected us from each other. The best of this world can't be all there is. Consider also the challenges you face in life, the deepest needs that weigh on your mind and soul. Think about the way you fail and fall short. Ponder how others have hurt you and how you've hurt others. Yes, all is not right. Well, the Bible compares this state of sinful imperfection to a painful groaning that yearns to be made whole. Romans chapter 8 declares, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. We know deep inside that something's wrong. Our chaotic, disconnected, and confusing existence cries out that there has to be something more. We need a relationship with the God who created and redeemed us. There is more to life than merely what's here and now. Just listen to what the Bible says. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. We know there is something more to this life. And when we hit the wall of the world's brokenness and our own personal chaos, we cry out for help. We look for someone to step in. We need a miracle. Do you need that miracle right now, my friend? Well, I really want you to know and believe that you have that miracle today. If you desperately need to know that you're not alone, that there's more to life than the here and now, or that the brokenness of this world isn't all that you have, then this Transfiguration Day miracle is here for you. Just think about what happened one day in the ministry of Jesus Christ as he took three of his disciples up on a mountainside for a time of prayer. Luke the historian says in chapter 9 of his gospel, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and his clothes became dazzling white. Jesus' appearance was transfigured, miraculously changed, as his disciples looked on. He became brighter than a flash of lightning, and he spoke with Moses and Elijah, two servants of God from long ago, now appearing miraculously from heaven. They spoke about Jesus' mission to save the world from sin and death through his death and resurrection. After Peter tried to convince Jesus that they should all just stay there in this miraculous moment for good, Luke tells us, as Peter was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." In addition to seeing the godly glory of Jesus and witnessing the appearance of Moses and Elijah, the disciples heard God speak from the cloud. This was a major miracle. And although the disciples didn't say anything about it to anyone right away, they did talk about it later. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, "For we do not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice, born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain." This miracle, this eternal glimpse of the full identity of Jesus, showed those first disciples that Jesus was truly God, and he had come down to be with them. Second, it showed them that God cared about what was most important in their lives. It would have been nice for the disciples to stay on that mountain, to enjoy the beauty, peace, and glory for a while. But what was most important was Jesus' mission. Notice that the discussion on that day was about Jesus' departure in Jerusalem, his work to free all people from the slavery to sin and death. My friend, this is your miracle too. If you are praying for a miracle today, you have one. The transfiguration of Jesus also similarly shows you two things. First, Jesus is truly God who came into this world to be with you. The real and miraculous transfiguration of Jesus, witnessed and written down for you, tells you today that you're not alone, that God is very real and very near to you, and that Jesus, the Son of God, came to help you in your time of need. This is a very important principle to know in life. God is real. He shows up. He takes action among us, his people, and it's always a miracle. It's a miracle because God steps into our chaos and our imperfection from the outside, and through his saving work, changes the default direction of our sin-stained life and world. The perfect and holy God enters into our brokenness, gets his hands dirty, and saves us. Why? Because he cares about you. Because he loves you. And secondly, this miracle tells you that Jesus will always give you the very best, his very best. Not always what you want, but always what you need. He will never be distracted from giving you the miracle of the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of eternal life. A life where weeping and mourning and crying and pain are gone forever. God may, in his grace, decide to make this world better for you. He may decide to help you right now. He may slay the Goliath giant problems that loom before you. He may heal your temporary illness as Jesus did for some even when he walked on this earth. Jesus may calm the seas of your life or provide what you need as he did when he fed the 5,000. Yes, he may decide to help you with your temporal immediate needs. But while those remarkable answers are wonderful blessings, God ultimately isn't about mere short-term solutions. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God made sure that a brief mountaintop miracle was not all the disciples could claim as theirs. No, the greatest miracle was seeing, knowing, and believing in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and the eternal life that he came to give each of them as a gift. God's greatest miracle was leading them, solidifying them in their relationship to Jesus Christ, to receive and cherish the blessings of eternal life through the death and resurrection of His only Son. That's the eternal miracle that God gives you today. That's the long-term miraculous solution for your life. Even Peter, who was on the mountain with Jesus, said that we have something even better than a temporary miracle. We have the eternal word and the eternal promise of God. Peter spoke about this also in 2 Peter verse 1. He said, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." You have a miracle. It's the living word of God giving you the certain promise that Jesus is with you always. You have a miracle. It's the lasting miracle of salvation through Jesus earned on the cross and poured out on you personally through His washing of regeneration, holy baptism. You have a miracle. It's the promise that you, as you present everything to God in prayer, His peace that transcends your understanding will guard your heart and mind in Jesus Christ. You have a miracle. The promise that this life is never the end, that there is an eternal life, a new creation coming for all those who trust in Jesus, the one who lived, died, and rose again, so that all might live forever in Him. You have a miracle. A few years ago, a little boy lay in a hospital bed, teetering between life and death. After suffering injury in an accident at his home, this toddler fought for life as his parents sat beside him singing songs of Jesus and asking God for a miracle. 7 days after the accident, the sweet little boy died. In a message to all the people praying for their son, this little boy's mother and father said, "We prayed that God would give us a miracle. Instead of the miracle of healing, God gave our son the miracle of eternal life. Our hearts are broken, but we know our heartache is temporary. One day we will be reunited with our Son in heaven, where He is fully restored and rests in Jesus' arms." They knew that in spite of the worst life could give them, they were still given the very best by their Savior. They indeed had a miracle. Sometimes God will lead you to the mountaintop of blessing in this life. Sometimes He will walk with you into and through the valley of struggle and sorrow, preparing you for the life that is yet to come. But in all things, He will always give you the eternal miracle that sustains you here and now and brings you to your heavenly home with Him. Listen to Jesus carefully, dear friend. In Him, you have a miracle. It's a valentine from God to you that lasts forever. It's a miracle to treasure, to share with the people God has placed in your life. God is real. He is with you. He gives you His eternal best. You have a miracle, dear friend. Even if everything isn't going right at the moment, the Lord of heaven and earth calls you to be His own, to live a life of grace boldly in His name. Not just today, but forever. Peter, James, and John got a glimpse of that on the mountain many years ago. Today, St. Luke offers you the certain promise of that gracious miracle today, calling you to faith in the transfigured Lord Jesus, whom you will also see one day in all the fullness of His glory. Trust Him in all things. You'll be glad you did. Amen.
It's a privilege as well as a command. It can be spontaneous and free form. It can also be a formal discipline practiced over an entire lifetime. And it may be one of the most misunderstood and often neglected aspects of the Christian life. It's prayer. Here to talk with us today about prayer and a new booklet we're offering is our theological editor and writer, Pastor Wayne Palmer, who's co-authored a new booklet titled Prayer When You Don't Know What to Say. Wayne, prayer, what is it and what is it not?
a lot of misconceptions about prayer. Sometimes it's the idea that we can bargain with God mm-hmm. or we can expect him to do things if we do something for him. And so we're trying to clear that up. Prayer is more communicating with God. We start our booklet talking about relationships we have with other people
right.
and how those parallel our relationship with God, how we need to have conversations with other people to know what they're thinking, for them to know what we're thinking. But also looking at the differences with prayer, that God knows who we are. He knows our thoughts. He knows our lives. He knows our future, which we don't know. So in prayer, it's more of God talking to us in a sense, in terms of helping us understand and see how he does things for us, how he provides for us, giving us confidence that as he's been with us in the past, he'll be with us in the future too.
Some of these wrong notions of prayer that we sometimes see played out in movies and TV.
Oh, yes.
What does that tell us about a wrong relationship with God?
When our relationship with God is based on our life, what we have to do for God or what we have to offer God, and we put ourselves in the center and God on the outside, that's the wrong impression of prayer and the wrong impression of our life anyway. What the Bible always tells us is God is the one in the center. He's the one that created us. He's the one that cares for us. He's the one that sent his son to save us. And in prayer, he gives us the opportunity to see him even more clearly as he takes a part in all of our life, in every moment, every facet, every problem, and every blessing that we enjoy in life too.
Here's the most basic question. Why pray?
I've often thought that prayer is more for us than it is for God. God already knows what we need. He knows the best way to provide it. But we need to know that God's on our side. I think that's why in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus, in the very middle of the prayer, where you might think it'd be the beginning, he offered the petition, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." As we're talking with God, the feelings and the thought and the guilt sometimes comes back that, oh, I've done a bad thing in life and I don't deserve for God to answer my prayers. But Jesus wants us to remember, no, you don't deserve it, but I've given it to you as a free gift. I've given you my righteousness. I've made you holy. I've taken your sins away. So you can be confident that I'll answer your prayers. I'll take care of all your needs and your family's needs and your loved ones.
Wayne, let's talk about the booklet that you've co-authored. The title is Prayer: When You Don't Know What to Say. Who would benefit from reading this booklet?
Really, anybody. It's written particularly for those who are new to the faith or unsure about prayer, and it tries to help dispel some of those notions that you talked about earlier about TV and movie presentations and descriptions of prayer. But it's also for those who've been Christians all their lives and have been active in prayer to kind of help refocus our prayer life and help us to understand better what God's doing when we pray to him.
And we only have time here to really touch upon the surface of what's available in this booklet. We hope you'll call in and ask for your own free copy of it. We've been talking with Pastor Wayne Palmer, our theological editor and writer here at Lutheran Hour Ministries, talking about the booklet, Prayer: When You Don't Know What to Say. And to receive your free copy of this new booklet, call us at 1-855-JOHN-316. Or in Canada, call 1-800-555-6236. Wayne, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mark.
Each week, the Lutheran Hour shares the good news of God's forgiving love for us in Jesus Christ. If these messages have helped you and you'd like to share that blessing with others, consider making a gift to support this ministry as you are able. One way to do that is through an automatic giving plan. Whether you want to give once a month or twice a year, you choose the plan that works best for you. To learn more, go to LutheranHour.org and click on Automatic Giving. With your continued faithful support, we are bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Now Pastor Self leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
And now Pastor Gregory Seltz responds to questions from listeners. I'm Mark Eicher. This week marks the beginning of Lent with Ash Wednesday. People sometimes walk around with ashes on their foreheads. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what that all means. What is it all about?
Great questions, Mark. You know, and important ones too. But when people ask, does God want such things like the application of ashes on our heads? Does he want it done? It's important to ask, do you mean, does God need it done?
Why is that?
Well, if people think that the Christian church is saying that religious rites and rituals are demanded by God for a person to receive God's blessings, you know, put those ashes on so that God will bless you or forgive you because you've done what you need to do, they're missing the point, even asking the wrong questions. You know, in Hebrews 10:8, you know, it says that God despises false piety even when it involves doing something good. So God's holiness can't be bought off with a sinner's best efforts.
And that's what makes Christianity different from all other religions. It's not religious things you either do or don't do in order to merit God's favor.
Exactly. It's a proclamation of grace on God's terms alone. So it's important when we talk about any spiritual disciplines like prayer and fasting, tithing, serving the poor, or even disciplines of repentance like Ash Wednesday or Lent, it's important that we make sure that people know that Christianity is first and foremost a proclamation of what God has done for all people by grace, without merit, works, or worthiness on our part.
Why is that so important?
Well, it's a whole different mindset for piety, a whole different reason for action. We love because God first loved us. We serve because God served us. All of our works, even our prayers and disciplines, flow from this one central truth.
So then Ash Wednesday is not so much about Christians doing something for God. It's about Christians recognizing what God has done for them mm-hmm. and for all people. Now, if you went to an Ash Wednesday service, what might you see?
Well, typically there'd be readings and prayers and a meditation. But at one point in the service, people would gather at the altar and the pastor would put ashes on their forehead, often quoting Genesis 3:19, "Remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return." The action is a sign of repentance, a reminder of our utter need for our Savior. But it reminds people not only for their need for God's grace, but of the actions of Jesus Christ, especially on the cross for them, for all.
And this begins a season of repentance, the season of Lent, 40 days.
It does. But again, people get the wrong idea of what that means, too. A season like Lent is not just a time to do without. It's a time to remember what really makes life work, what really is most valuable in our lives, our relationship to God. So Ash Wednesday and the whole season of Lent is not so much a time of sorrow, but a time to repentantly focus, to put the peripheral items in life in their place. Think about it this way. It's a call to see what Jesus' cross really means, a call to salvation that sticks, to forgiveness that holds. It's a call to live differently with different priorities, different goals, different values because of what Jesus has done for us.
Now, today we're talking about Ash Wednesday, but it seems our culture has it backwards. They're more focused on Fat Tuesday. When people get to eat, drink, and be merry because you're going to have to shut it all down for Lent as if God is the big killjoy who takes all the fun out of life.
Now do you see why God is so angry with our false view of piety and religious works? He endures the rebellion of the world, the temptation of the world, the eternal judgment of the cross, also we could have abundant, joyful life in his name, and yet people think that Lenten preparation and Ash Wednesday, that focus takes all the fun out of life.
When it's really preparation for the biggest celebration of all.
Yeah, it's focusing on the fact that your invitation to abundant eternal life took you out of the ashes of sin and death and showed you the blessing of Christ's work on your behalf. Fat Tuesday has nothing on Ash Wednesday, Lent, and Easter joy.
And certainly that's a powerful piety that blesses us and others. Thank you, Pastor Seltz. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.